Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Big Topic, where we dive into the complicated world of screen time for kids. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 160. Hello, 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 Shauna.
Hi.
Hi. So let's get right to it. Give us your check-in. How are those girls? And what's going on with you guys this week?
We're good. A cute little thing Cece has started doing lately is she's caught on to us saying ta-da. Or I don't know where she got it, to be honest, but like anytime she accomplishes something now, she goes ta-ta, and she, you know, she says ta-ta instead of ta-da, and it's really cute. I caught a little bit on a voice memo. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, I love voice memos.
Okay.
I did it. Ta-da.
Yay.
Oh, I did it. Ta-ta.
So she gets very proud of herself. She's like, I did it, ta-ta. And it's very cute. And I had to report on that. And, you know, the big thing we did do this week, ta-ta, is go on vacation.
What's that? Vacation?
Well, as you know, vacations with small kids don't actually exist. You really go on trips. And I'm really stretching this to call it a vacation because, Laura, we drove less than 1 hour from home down to Redondo Beach. That's as far as we went.
Hey.
But it was a big deal.
That is a big deal, especially after so long of being in quarantine and isolation. And Redondo really is a different vibe than where you live. I mean, in the valley.
Oh, 100%.
A beach town. And yeah. Okay. So tell us all about it. Was it fun at all?
It had its highs and lows.
Okay.
But it all started because, you know, the pandemic, it's been really hard. And I've just been kind of dreaming of getting away and et cetera, et cetera. And my mom a couple months ago was like, you need to get out of the house and do something fun. I am going to rent an Airbnb down at the beach within walking distance to the beach. And we're going to come in from Phoenix and meet you guys there. And it'll be a weekend and it'll be fun.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, okay, she just took control of the situation, just rented this place, and we showed up, and it was fabulous. Redondo Beach is so cute. Oh my God, we rented this house on this little street, literally 2 blocks from the beach. We walked down there every day and just had so much fun being with Nana and Pop-Pop and away from our house, and the weather was beautiful, and, you know, the high points, of course, were all of those things, just being somewhere different and doing something fun and exciting.
Redondo is like south of LAX, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so. There's so many beach towns and I can't keep them straight.
I know. Redondo, Hermosa, Manhattan, they're all down there. And it really brought me back to when Steve and I got married, because we got married kind of down in that area and had our wedding reception right near Redondo Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And we stayed in a house there at that time. And so I was getting nostalgic and it was just really nice. It was great.
And your mom, I mean, good job, Nana, for taking the initiative and doing something like that.
I know. Major BFP this week, for sure. You know, it was also a struggle. One thing when going away with family is sleeping arrangements, right? Like, where are the kids going to sleep and how are we going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And it was a nice big house with lots of bedrooms, but Elle slept in a bedroom with Steve, right? There were two twin beds in there. He's like, I'll sleep with her. And I'm like, oh, I'll sleep with Cece in this other room. She's in the pack and play. So that was our sleeping arrangement.
Okay, I was going to ask because that's the first thing I think of when I try to figure out going anywhere is like, how are all these children going to sleep and us also?
Exactly. And having the girls separated is really the biggest key because, you know, I think they would not fall asleep very well if they were in the same room together. Mm-hmm. And so that was our arrangement, and I was sleeping great the first night, and all of a sudden at like 3:30 a.m., Steve comes in, and he's like, Shauna, I need your help. Elle is freaking out.
Oh,
and
no.
And I was like, oh, no, what? And so I get up and go into the other bedroom, and she's just like crying, melting down, having a really hard time sleeping. And what I didn't know is that they had already been up for about 2 hours.
What?
And he had been trying to comfort her and get her back to sleep for 2 hours. He had like turned on the light. He'd gotten her milk. He'd been showing her some videos to try to calm her. And like, she just couldn't calm down. And finally she got to the point where she was like, I want mama Daddy, you need to leave. Like, she just didn't want him anywhere near her in the bedroom. It was so sad. And so I got up and came in and, you know, gave her some comfort. And I don't know, she just was probably so exhausted by that point that she finally fell asleep.
Yeah.
And Steve was like, I'm afraid to go sleep in Cece's room because what if my snoring wakes her up? Because I think my snoring woke up Elle. And oh my God, what do I do? I know. So he went and slept on the couch in the living room. And Cece ended up getting like the biggest bedroom all to herself, like this big queen bed in there, unused. And she's just in one corner in a pack and play. And that's like how we ended up doing the rest of the vacation. Like I slept in the room with Elle. The rest of the night, Steve slept on the couch and Cece got her own room. It was ridiculous. But yeah, you just got to really roll with the punches when you're traveling with kids because the weirdest stuff can happen like that. You just don't know.
Was the couch at least mildly comfortable for Steve?
Yeah, it was actually a really nice, comfy couch. I think he did fine out there. He was totally fine. He can kind of sleep anywhere.
So was it just the change of venue, you think, for Elle? Because she had been, I mean, she hadn't slept away from home in what, a year and a half?
At least. Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is that earlier that day, my mom was like, do you think she'll wake up in the middle of the night and have to go to the bathroom or something and feel confused and scared? And I was like, no, she'll be fine. Like, you know, she's 5 and a half. And I think Nana was right on this one. And I think you are too. She just probably woke up, probably because of Steve snoring, and felt discombobulated and confused and then just probably panicked a little bit.
Poor thing. I actually remember what it was like to be a kid and like waking up in a weird place and how scary that was. I was kind of a nervous sleeper when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Maybe kind of is an understatement. Like I was the kid who would sneak into my parents' room night after night because I would have nightmares and be scared and all this stuff. So I remember that feeling very viscerally, and it sucks. It's really scary. So I'm so glad that you could at least give her that comfort.
Yeah, I was too. And the funny thing is, the reason that Steve was in there is that we were like, well, we should have a parent in there because, yeah, if she wakes up, that might be, you know, disconcerting for her. So let's have someone in there to comfort her. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that was the wrong parent. She was just like,
the wrong parent. You chose wrong.
No, yeah. Poor guy.
Well, also, I'm sure, I feel like we've talked about this, but I do this even with a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old too, is that like the older kids seem so much older in comparison that you kind of forget that they're small too, you know?
Yes.
They seem so capable. And then it's like, oh no, they still need help. They're still very little. I'm sure it's even more pronounced because Elle seems so big, right? At 5 and a half.
Yep. Yeah, and she's kind of a precocious, mature 5 and a half, and I forget that she is still just, you know, a small child with normal child fears and anxieties and stuff.
Yeah, well, did she have any problems sleeping the rest of the week, or was it all good as long as you were in the room?
It was fine the rest of the time. The rest of the time was great, and I slept fine in that room. The only thing that affected me is the house was full of things with feathers, like goose down, like pillows just piled on beds and comforters, and I am so allergic to feathers. Like if I go to a hotel room, I have to clear all that crap out. And I didn't realize it until the second day. I'm like sniffling, red eye, headachy. I'm like, what's going on? I was like, oh my God, there's feathers everywhere. So once I cleared all that out of the bedroom, I was much better.
Well, I'm so glad you got to go on vacation. I really, I'm jealous, but I'm also not, because like I don't have any desire to pack the kids' stuff up and go anywhere right now, especially after the move. But
yeah, you might want to settle down a while after that.
Yes, someday soon. Soon, though, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was our fun week. Oh, the last thing to say about it is I think the girls, well, I'm pretty sure I know that the girls think that Nana lives in that house in Redondo Beach because they keep calling it Nana's beach house. Oh, the last few days they're like, Mama, that's when are we funny. Going back to Nana's beach house? I'm like, ooh, sorry to break it to you guys, but Nana doesn't live there. She wishes she did. I wish she did, but no.
Probably not affordable on the long term.
No, no, not for any of us. It's, yeah, unfortunate because it's a wonderful area. Anyway, okay, so that's our week. What about you? How are things going over there? Are you guys settling into the house? What's going on?
We are. And I should say that you might hear little baby noises because a certain little baby woke up and Corey and Augie are out having a fun adventure. And so, yeah, we have a little Sebastian visiting us. You want to say hi? You want to make a noise? You want to make a baby noise? No? Okay. He's like, no, I promise to be quiet.
Okay. Perfect.
So, yeah. So we are settling in. We're still having hot water issues. I won't go into details, but we have warm water, not hot water, which is good enough for the moment.
Good.
So, yeah, the house is slowly coming together. Speaking of kids thinking grandmas live in the wrong house, I'm pretty sure Augie thinks that our realtor owns this house.
Emily?
Emily. He keeps asking, like, is this Emily's house?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And I'm like, nope, it's our house. And then he also, like, says things like, is this the new house? And I'm like, yeah, it's the new house. And he keeps asking that. Like, is this the new house? Can I play in it? And I'm like, yeah, you can, honey. This is our house. It's yours to do what you want. Like, it's your house to destroy now. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we're starting to get unpacked. I have bad news this week.
Oh no.
Which is Amberger got a new job.
Oh, what? This is your nanny, Amber, for those who don't remember.
Our nanny, our beloved nanny, Amber, who Augie calls Amberger, who she's like the sweetest, loveliest person. She's about to enter her master's in education, and we're so happy for her. But we thought we'd have a couple more months before she had to go back to in-person school. Mm-hmm. But alas, she got a job for the summer teaching a pod of like fourth graders, I think.
Oh, okay.
And it's much more in line with what she wants to do, right? It's obviously really good for her resume and important for experience. And so she called us right away when she heard. And so that means this is actually her last week.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. That's so sad, especially when, like, he's developed a relationship with her and now has to say goodbye. And then for you to have to find someone new.
Yeah, it's not good timing. I don't blame her at all. You know, she's super, super apologetic, but it does suck. It really sucks. Yeah. So we are now on the search for childcare again. I'm like frantically searching care.com and calling other agencies because, you know, our house is like full of boxes and this giant mess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, it's tough. So, but yeah, on the search again for a nanny.
Okay.
So, not what I expected for this week, the week after we moved, but
I know. Oh, fingers crossed you find someone good soon.
Yes, me too. I do have a couple people who have written back and, you know, some feelers out. So we'll see what happens. On the baby front, this guy right here, little Sebastian. Hi. I see you. Yeah, you're just looking around. You're like, what is this booth? What is this booth? He's decided this week that he's going to just start rejecting all bottles and pacifiers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. In addition, he's waking up 3 times a night and has to nurse to sleep all of a sudden.
Oh, my gosh. So wait, is he 5 months old now or 4?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. He is 4 months old and Augie is almost 2.5. Like, he'll be 2.5 next week. So you may recall I very cockily mentioned what a great sleeper he had been when he was a little younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I clearly angered the gods of baby sleep, because now he's waking up 3 times a night and has to nurse to sleep. He never nursed to sleep before. He was like,
yeah, I remember that.
This weird unicorn baby who just like could be easily put down, groggy but awake. And no longer. So I'm not sure if it has to do with the reflux. Like, we finally got him started on the proton pump inhibitor, the PPI.
Mm-hmm.
That's like your over-the-counter Prilosec. He's actually on what's like over-the-counter called Prevacid, or maybe like brand name Prevacid. It's Lansoprazole.
Okay.
And we've just been having a lot of trouble, like, getting it into him, because obviously he's spitting up so much, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And so the timing of it is really hard for us, because it's like we're trying to get it in his mouth so that he ends up, like, keeping it down. And, like, so we're trying to figure out the timing. And it's also just, like, a large volume. It's 2 milliliters of fluid.
Oh.
Which... it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're a tiny little baby, a little 4-month-old baby, trying to get that in your mouth, it's really hard. So he's like losing half of it down his cheek, and then I don't know how much more I should give him or if I should give him any, and then he spits up 5 minutes later. And so it's just been an ongoing thing. I think we finally now, at the end of the week, gotten like 2 or 3 good doses in him. So I'm hoping that that means that it's going to start working a little better and maybe it'll help his sleep.
I hope so.
Yeah, I really hope so, because I wasn't really banking on like a second sleep regression in the 4 months. Like, people would probably write in and be like, this is the 4-month sleep regression. It's like, but we already did that. We already did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we already did the 4-month regression, and it's this time no one else can like soothe him except for me and my boob. So it's all me.
That sounds very exhausting, and my sympathies and empathy go out to you.
Thank you. And I think part of our problem was with the move and stuff. We got so complacent with the bottles, and like, we just forgot to give him a bottle every once in a while. And I think he just forgot, like, I don't know, not forgot how to use them, but like, you know, they say you have to, you should give like at least a bottle a day or every other day or something to keep up their interest in using bottles. And because he hadn't had any problems with them, I like didn't really think too hard about that. Like, I was just like, oh, you know, we'll give him a bottle when we give him a bottle. He's such an easy baby. He does everything so well. Like, I don't need to worry about a bottle strike.
And here you are.
But here we are. What do you have to say for yourself? What do you have to say for yourself? What do you have to say for yourself? You're not talking. Oh, he's grabbing the pop filter.
That's all he wants to do. Have you guys tried different bottles, tried warming up the milk before it goes in the bottle, like all the tricks I can think of?
So far, we've tried a different, like 3 different types of bottles. We've tried Dr. Brown's, we've tried Mam, and we've tried Evenflow.
Yes.
And we have tried different sized nipples so far, you know, like different flow rates of the nipples. So far, that hasn't helped. We've tried different people. My mom's in town, so it's like my mom tried giving it to him. No luck. We tried Corey's mom. We tried Corey. We tried me. We tried him facing out, him facing in, him on his side.
Did you try Magnus?
We did not try Magnus. And to be honest, that's probably the next thing we should try, because he freaking loves Magnus.
Like, there you
they're
go.
Best friends. So I'm going to have to train my cat, who does not have opposable thumbs, and show him how to hold a bottle. And But I mean, I feel like we've tried all the tricks. Oh, I also like put like a drop of vanilla in my thawed milk, because I thought like, is this high lipase? Does it taste soapy? Because it kind of smelled a little soapy. That didn't do anything. I tried pumping fresh milk for him. No. He just wants it straight from the source.
Well, shucks. That just puts extra work on your shoulders now, because if you can't hand him off to someone, it's all on you.
Yep.
I know you know that. I'm just reiterating.
Thanks for telling me.
Oh, God.
I hadn't realized.
Yeah.
Oh, the good news is he's super cute and he's happy. Like, he's not a like colicky baby or anything. He just is awake and smiley and hungry. But yeah, that's where we're at.
Okay.
And I'll keep you updated if anything works. I know a lot of people have bottle strike babies, so hopefully I'll be able to figure something out and provide some insight. Or if anyone listening has any, hopefully by the time this airs, there will be progress, but maybe not.
I hope so.
What do you think? Are you ready? Are you ready to take a bottle? But anyway, luckily he's so stinking cute, and he's really cute right now, but he is trying to grab all of my podcasting equipment, and it's making it a little tricky to record. So maybe I should go find my mom, tell her to come and help me, and we can come back with our special segment.
I think that sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Big Topic, where we dive into the nitty-gritty of a parenting issue that we think we can all relate to. And this week's issue is screen time. Laura, the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines calls for no screen time at all for children until 18 to 24 months, except for video chatting. And for ages 2 to 5, they should get an hour or less of screen time a day. Okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about, honestly, how we handle that, what we do in our homes for screen time, some pitfalls, some advantages, all that jazz. So
Yes. You,
I think, are up first. Tell me, where are you guys with screen time? Does Augie do anything other than video chat? And when did it start?
Well, this is something I've talked about on the show. I'm sure listeners will remember that we've had issues where Augie just like cannot handle a lot of screen time, or in the past he hasn't, at least. Like, during the pandemic, I tried to use it as a tool and it would just backfire, right? It would make him have massive tantrums and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But recently I've found actually a TikTok that kind of expressed how I felt with this. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So some people have asked if we use screen time limits for our children. We definitely do. So she's allowed to watch her iPad until it dies. And then after it dies, she can watch TV until it's charged back up.
That's amazing. Oh my God.
And that is from user Jill200016. So like 2016, but 2000 plus 16. So we'll be sure to put a link to that in our show notes too. Now, obviously, that's a joke, but it kind of feels that way lately. I feel like something has kind of switched in our house in the last couple months, and maybe it's the move or who knows what's going on. But we have gotten more and more screen time kind of creeping in. And by screen time, I mean multiple things. Like, there's a lot of television shows that we've been watching on Netflix. We watch some YouTube, both on my phone and in the car on my phone, and also on like the Apple TV. And then there's also like iPad games that we've gotten into. So our screen time use has gone up significantly since we last talked about this. And I have such mixed feelings about it, Shauna.
Yeah. What are they?
Well, on one hand, you know, there's all the stuff you're told, right? That's like, screen time is bad for kids. It ruins their attention span and blah, blah, blah. And they should be playing with wooden toys with no, like, no volatile paints or whatever. Anyway,
right.
All that stuff, like, goes through my brain. On the other hand, I like TV, you know?
Yeah,
like,
same.
Think about it. Like, my husband is a TV writer. Like, TV is kind of important in our lives, and movies and all that stuff. And I don't want him to not have that enjoyment either. You know, I don't know why. I mean, I guess I know why we would hold him to a different standard, because his brain isn't developed like ours are and whatever. But like, to be honest, I don't have great impulse control with screens either. Like, I look at my phone way too much, and Corey looks at his phone way too much, and Augie sees that. You know?
Yeah.
And then he when we're like, no, too much screens, you should play with your toys. And meanwhile, we're both looking at our phones. It feels really hypocritical in a way. So yeah. So I don't know. We have mixed feelings, but we have definitely started watching more. And, you know, just by default, Sebastian ends up watching, and that's in like quotes, right? Watching TV too, because it's on, and he'll be playing on his mat or whatever, or sitting in my lap, and he sees it. And he definitely like has started watching it, you know. Now he's 4 months and he's interested. You know, he looks over and he likes the moving pictures, and much to my dismay, Cocomelon is a show that we've been watching a lot.
Cocomelon.
And that's
It's
actually a pretty juvenile show. So like, I'd say it's even aimed at kids younger than Augie and Cece. Like,
yeah, I feel it's for infants.
Yeah, it's like very simplistic cartoons, like digital cartoon computer graphics and singing, like singing nursery rhymes. That's it, right? Is there anything else to it? I've never seen anything else.
No, there's no story, I don't think.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's really right up Sebastian's alley. So I try to pay attention when he's like in the room to not just, you know, I don't just like stick him in front of it. Although I do have pictures of both of them just staring at the TV. It happened by accident, I swear. Like, I would put Sebastian down and come back and they're both just staring at the TV. But yeah, but it's definitely a presence in our house. And I just feel conflicted because I wish I had like strong feelings one way or another so that I could implement my own policies about it. But instead, I'm very wishy-washy. And one day I'll be like, it's too much, we need to stop. And then the next day I'm like, it's fine, it's fine. We love TV too. So,
right.
How about you? What's going on in your house? I know you definitely have used it as a tool to help you get work done, and fair enough.
Yes, yes. I was very hesitant about screen time when I was a first-time mom and didn't really let Elle watch very much TV, but it did start when I went back to work. I was working from home when she was about a year and a half, and I had to go on meetings, like phone meetings, and I had a 1.5-year-old, and I was like, what the hell do I do with her? And that's when I discovered the show Sarah and Duck, and Elle is just like mesmerized by the TV. She always has been. And it was the best babysitter. It was an amazing tool because I could put her in front of the TV in her yes space and I could go up into the loft and take a quick meeting. Like, I could keep an ear on her, but she didn't make a peep, man. She was like really into the show. So she's definitely different about screen time than Cece. Cece, like Sebastian, has been exposed to it since she was very small, you know, because she has an older sibling. And as such, I think she's just like desensitized to it and doesn't care as much. But during the pandemic, we've ramped up screen time immensely, especially for Elle, because she doesn't nap anymore. And Steve and I need a midday break. Like, it is just too much to do like 14 to 15 straight hours of parenting. So we give ourselves a break.
What kind of shows is she watching now?
She watches stuff on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus. She really loves things like The Wild Kratts. She loves Octonauts, PJ Masks. The girl has just watched so many episodes of these shows. She just binge watches. And I feel really guilty about it. But then I just am like, you know what? These are unusual times. We do have a strict routine in that that's when she watches TV, right? Like, it's not kind of a wishy-washy thing. If she asks to watch in the morning, it's usually like, nope, you know, you have your TV time. And so she knows, like, that's when she watches. It's just a lot all at once in the middle of the day. And I don't know. I feel bad about it, but I don't know that I'm seeing any negative consequences from it. She's learning a ton. The girl knows so much freaking stuff about animals from these shows like Wild Kratts. She's like, Mom, did you know there's this thing called the human salamander that has no eyes and six fingers and it lives to 110? And I'm like,
Yeah, I definitely knew all about that.
So there's definitely pros and cons to it for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little jealous because Augie is very weird about what shows he like wants to watch. He was into Trash Truck on Netflix for a while, which I loved. It was like a super cute show, really nice animation. And then he kind of soured on it. And then now he just kind of wants to jump around between these like random shows on Netflix that are about various like vehicles. Like there's RoboCar Pulley, and there's like about police vehicles. And then there's like a... Ricky Zoom. Ricky Zoom is the motorcycle show. And then there's like a monster truck show. But he like wants to watch two of them and then he gets bored, which is, you know, a little annoying. But what he really wants to do is watch random shit on YouTube, which like I'm not as cool about. Like, it's one thing to watch a narrative show. I feel like most of the kids' shows, they try to teach some kind of lesson, right?
Yeah.
But on YouTube, it's just like he wants to watch plumbing videos now because I'm serious, because I was watching all this like YouTube plumbing stuff trying to figure out how to fix our damn hot water. And so now he's like, I want to watch plumbing videos. I want to watch plumbing videos. I'm like, all right. Like, I still haven't fixed the damn hot water. So let's figure it out. And like, I'll turn something on and he's like, not this plumbing video, that plumbing, no, that one, that one. He's like pointing at the thumbnails. I'm just like, oh God.
Oh, God, that stresses me out so much about YouTube. That's one of the downsides of screen time is the rabbit holes that they can go down, especially if they are not supervised.
Like, yes.
Honestly, when Elle watches TV, we are not sitting right next to her, you know, engaging with her and stuff. She's older. She's old enough now. She can watch it on her own. And we had a problem with her going down a rabbit hole on Amazon Prime.
Ooh.
Amazon Prime actually
really
has a bunch of shitty kids things. They're like weird, terribly animated. They're kind of educational, but it's like so basic and really bad, like these weird, badly animated trucks rolling into a thing of paint. And it's like red and just blippy. You know, I'm not a big fan of Blippy, this like 32-year-old guy who puts on big glasses and runs around playgrounds.
I refuse to acknowledge the presence of Blippy, like, in the universe. Blippy does not exist as far as, and I actually never watched it. I'm just like fundamentally against it for some reason.
Yeah, he's annoying. She just discovered it on her own, and like the kids like so much of this weird content, and there's solutions for that, actually. We've had to come up with a lot of different solutions for how to limit her content. So it's possible.
So is it like the parental settings or something on each app or what?
Yeah, what we do for TV Time is we use the Amazon Fire Stick to connect to all the different services. And you can create a kid's profile within that. And then our adult profile has a password. So we can pick and choose what we want her to have access to on the TV. So I do let her have Netflix because I feel like it's less of crappy programming. And she can't access any of that Amazon Prime stuff. We don't let her access any YouTube on there and stuff like that. So that is very helpful. And we turn off autoplay on episodes like on Netflix so that it just doesn't go and go and go forever. Because that can be really hard to have them stop watching TV if like the episodes just keep bleeding into one another. It never feels like there's an end.
That's a really good point. We need to do that because it's the same thing. We'll say like, okay, we're going to watch 2 15-minute episodes or whatever, and then we'll be done. But the autoplay starts, and then you like trying to tell him, well, no, this is a different episode. Like, they don't get that.
They totally don't get that.
Especially at 2.5. Yeah.
And on Netflix, it's tricky to find that. I had to go to the web, like on my computer, I had to go to their web version and find the kids' settings. So
if
anyone's looking to do that, go online to figure that out.
That's good to know. Yeah, so the YouTube thing is a really big problem, and I know not to just let him click and go down like these autoplay rabbit holes on YouTube, but Grandma did not know this. Yeah, and so she has been known to like just pick a video on YouTube. Well, actually, it's not even picking a video on YouTube. She Googles truck video, and then I'll be like, Mom, what are you even showing him? And she's like, oh, it's off Google. Google had it. So I pressed it. I'm like, that, first of all, no, like that doesn't mean it's good. Like, just because it showed up in a Google search result. Second of all, like, it is on YouTube. And she's like, well, it looks really benign. And so I had to like tell her about how like there were random kids shows that would like seem like kids shows and then have like disturbing content in the middle and stuff. Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's terrible.
I think there was a Reply All episode about that. And it just scared me. So yeah, we don't do YouTube unless like I am actively choosing the videos because we're watching them together, because I just can't. Also, the things he seems to get like the most upset about are the like stupid ass, like badly animated videos of trucks and stuff, or like kids playing with trucks that I just can't let him watch. So
yeah.
So yeah, YouTube is something that we have to be really, really careful with. And in my experience, the only way to do it is to watch it on the actual like big screen and just not even introduce YouTube on like the tablet or on iPhone. Yeah.
It's so enticing for them to poke their little fingers and click things. And, you know, they want to click away and, you know, to other videos. And that's not so easy to do on the TV.
That's right. That's right. Oh, but speaking of tablets. So I know you had mentioned that the girls like use tablets, right? Like the iPad, or do they have something else?
Yes, they use tablets. For Christmas, Elle got an Amazon Fire Kids tablet, which is great because I wanted her to have something of her own because she was using my iPad. And, you know, God, it's like so tricky because navigate away and find other things and mess up your apps, which the solution for that, if anyone doesn't know, is turning on guided access on your iPad.
I was going to mention this. Guided access
is helpful.
Super useful for phones, too. Mm-hmm. One problem is it only works in certain OSs and up. And the iPad we use for Augie is like literally a first generation iPad that we have left over and still works pretty darn well. But it won't let us upgrade the OS because it's so old and guided access is not available. So,
bummer.
But do you want to explain what guided access is for people?
Yeah, it's a setting on your phone or tablet. When you turn it on, basically the user cannot navigate away from the app that they're in. They can't navigate away to the homepage, to other apps, to the app store where they could buy add-ons for their little games. Mm-hmm. You know, that stuff is always terrifying to think about, like what little add-ons they might accidentally buy. So they're stuck within their app that they're in. So super helpful, and it needs an adult's password or like your thumbprint or face, whatever, to turn it off. So very, very useful.
And we've used it for like car rides, because the problem we'd end up with is like we'd hand Augie our iPhones with Netflix playing or something so that he, on a long car ride or when he was really tired and already like throwing a fit, you know, basically placate him with the Netflix. And the problem is he would like click away and be like, the show is off. This isn't Ricky Zoom. Where's Ricky Zoom? And you're like, oh God. And so you're like driving, but you're trying to figure it out. And you're like reaching into the back seat, trying to get it back on. So guided access solved that problem immediately.
Absolutely. So even though Elle has her own tablet, Cece has finally come around to discovering the joys of playing on a tablet herself. What she used to do is sit and watch Elle, like big sister play, and she was really into watching her play. Mm-hmm. And then I think something happened like a few weeks ago where she was like, wait a minute, I can do this too, and wanted to play more and more. So now I've given her my iPad so that she can play stuff on there, and eventually we'll get her her own little device with her own games. But yeah, what our routine with games is that they play games on the tablet while I make dinner every night. So they play for about 10, 15 minutes on their tablets while I cook. I'm not distracted. It's a wonderful tool. And a lot of games are pretty awesome. Like, they're learning a lot, especially Elle is learning a ton with her games. And Cece's picking up stuff so quickly, puzzles, shapes, colors, all kinds of cool stuff. So I kind of love games more than TV.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I actually was kind of against Augie using the iPad, but my mom was like, he should get a puzzle game or something. And she found this one that I don't even know the name of. It's by the company 2-2-Learn, like the number 2-2-Learn.
Oh, okay.
They have a million games and they're all like some generic title, like toddler learning games, toddler ABC games. But we got like the whole package version of it. Mm-hmm. And it's got just like a ton of puzzles, a ton of numbers and letters and animal learning games. And it honestly keeps him really engaged. And I've been able to see him getting better at the things. And the cynical part of my brain is like, well, he's just learning how to play the game. He's not learning actual skills. But I'm not entirely sure that's right, because first of all, these kids are going to have to learn how to use touchscreens, right? Like,
oh yeah,
it's part of all of our lives. So he's gotten really good, like much better at his dexterity in that respect. And I see him learning his letters and stuff. So like he recognizes them, and now he's starting to like say things out in the world. Like he'll be like, there's an S. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. There is an S, you know, stuff like that. So I actually think they're, believe it or not, truly educational, you know, even the ones that are more meant for fun. So we use that. And I also discovered that through the LA Public Library, if you have a library card, you can get free access to ABC Mouse. Do you know about that app?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we purchased that with money. I didn't know we could get it for free.
Yeah, you have to re-up every 30 days with the library. Mm-hmm. But other than that, yeah, they give you free access, which is really cool.
That's cool.
For people outside of for people outside of California, you should look at what your local libraries are. But like, actually, I'm pretty sure that any resident of California can get a digital LA Public Library card for free. So that was really cool. I hadn't thought about the free resources you could get through the library. So we've used ABC Mouse. I have to say, the one thing about ABC Mouse is that they have little like shows within it, which I'm like, ugh. So he always gravitates to that instead of doing the more educational stuff.
Right.
So, but other than that, it's fine. I mean, he watched a little show on there about the Golden Gate Bridge, and now he's talking about the Golden Gate Bridge. So I guess it's not the, you know, he is learning something.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, some of the games that we like, if anyone out there is looking for toddler games, we like the Bimmy Boo series of toddler games. Very cute. The mascot is a tiny little, I don't know, Pomeranian puff dog named Boo. Very cute. And Toya Tap games have been really great. T-O-Y-A Tap. So those are the ones that Cece plays. And then, you know, as the kids get older and want to do more like letters and learning and stuff, Endless Words is awesome. Of course, ABC Mouse. And then they both love PBS Kids, which you can watch shows through there. But then there's like games associated with all their favorite shows. So that's really cool, too.
Yeah, I think the tablet really opens up screen time. Like, I almost feel like tablet time, game time should be separated from like this quote unquote screen time issue because it's a different, they're interacting in a very different way. You know, when Augie's watching a show, like the house could burn down around him and he's like so engaged in the show, right? But with the game, it's a completely different type of experience. He's tapping, he's moving, he's like interacting with it. So, I definitely think that lumping them together is not very fair. I actually listened to a really good podcast about this recently. I know our listeners probably love a podcast recommendation. It was the Happy as a Mother podcast, which is a show I really am enjoying. I've just started catching up on it. And it's episode 61, Managing Screen Time Without Guilt, with clinical psychologist Dr. Elizabeth Adams. And I won't go through everything they talk about on it, obviously. You should just go listen to it. But the like TLDR was the recommendations are based on kind of faulty science. And honestly, it's not that the screen time is going to rot your kids' brains. It's that it might take the place of like doing physical activity. And that's why they don't want you doing more than like an hour a day, because they don't want you to sit that much or not go out and play. But if your child is going out and playing and is playing with their toys and just isn't staring at the screen all day, it's probably fine. That was the that was the takeaway, which made me feel a lot better.
That makes me feel better too, for sure. And didn't you say you listened to a Dr. Becky podcast about strategies for approaching screen time with your kid, like how to help them transition out of screen time?
Yes, I did. Thank you for reminding me. It's like been, I listened to it and now I've completely forgotten. But now that you've reminded me, it's episode 3 of Good Inside with Dr. Becky. And it's titled, How Do I Handle Screen Time with My Kids? And one of the great things that she said was like setting up expectations before you start watching. Like, okay, we're going to watch 2 episodes. And at the end of that, we're going to be done. And that has actually helped a lot with us. We're not the best at it because sometimes we get like arm twisted into watching something and then we are enjoying the ability to do other things. So we're like, okay, one more episode. So we get a little selfish with it and don't set the firm boundaries. But I do find when we have the firm boundaries and set up expectations, it's better for Augie for sure.
Oh, good. Cool. It sounds like a good resource too.
Yeah. But I'd be really curious to hear from our listeners, like how do they handle screen time? Is there any like tips and tricks or hacks for dealing with screen time with kids? Because
what are your favorite shows for your kids and games? Please share.
Like, I know that a lot of people love Bluey. Augie will not watch Bluey. Like, refuses to watch Bluey. And I want to watch Bluey. Everyone's like, it's so great, wonderful modeling of like parental relationships and blah blah. I'm like, nope, doesn't want to watch Bluey. Won't do it.
He wants to watch badly animated trucks rolling into piles of red paint.
Yes, or whatever. Absolutely. That's exactly. And then going through a car wash.
Car wash. Yes. Oh, God. Carl's car wash. Oh, my God. She was into that for so long. I was like, okay.
These kids are funny.
Yes. Yeah.
But anyway, I think we dug deep in this big topic. Yeah.
Yes.
So I can't wait to hear from you listeners. You can send us a voice memo to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com or find us on our socials at BFP Podcast. We'll repeat these at the end of the show, but I just wanted to give you a little reminder.
Yeah. And in the meantime, let's take a quick break. Come back with our BFPs and BFNs.
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. All right, we are back and we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Well, our trip to Redondo Beach in itself was a big BFP. And my mom is like the ultimate winner BFP for setting that up for us and, you know, really urging us to do that. So Thank you, Mom. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Nana.
Yeah. The other big BFP was that during that time there, Steve and I were able to go out on a date because Nana and Pop Pop watched The Girls and it was so awesome.
Tell me everything. What's it like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's been ages, of course, since we've been able to do anything like that because of the pandemic. And it was already rare anyway because babysitting is, I don't know, whatever, hard to find.
Yeah.
So first of all, one night after the girls went to bed, Steve and I just walked down to the beach after the sun went down. Like, I never leave my house after the sun goes down anymore. I swear to God, it was the weirdest thing. I was like, are we going out at night? We walked all along the boardwalk on the beach and just took like the really long walk together. And oh my God.
This is sexy. You're feeling sexy, Shauna.
We were holding hands.
Oh, and then going back to sleep in separate rooms with different children.
Yes, so romantic. Oh my God. So that was really great. And then the next night after the girls went to bed, Nana and Pop-Pop were on kid duty, and we walked down to the little town center that was in walking distance of the house we were renting. And there were all these different restaurants to choose from, and we chose one called Riviera. It had nice big patio, like lots of airy outdoor seating. And sat down at a table and had someone wait on us and bring us drinks and food. And just, I don't know, my whole heart and spirit was just like taking off. I felt so light and happy, and just to be alone with him and doing something really fun and like old times, it was just awesome. It made me so happy.
Yeah, we've been to a restaurant or two so far now, and like the feeling of having someone clean up after you, I just like,
yes.
I want to give them a hug, except it's a pandemic and you can't. But I'm just like, you mean I don't have to do these dishes?
Thank you so much. That is huge.
And having a drink yes. brought to you.
Yes, one that I didn't make myself, like, you know, some crappy cocktail I made at home. We had old fashions. They were so perfect, so delicious. And we ordered so much food. We're just like, oh, we want this appetizer and that appetizer and this entree and like a dessert. Like, we just got so much food, so many drinks. It's like we were making up for lost time, you know, because we just haven't had that time. We haven't spent any money on anything like that in ages. So it's just like, boom, we went all out. And it was fantastic.
Yeah, your cocktail budget went straight to bounce houses.
Sure did. Oh. So anyway, that's my big BFP for the week.
I'm jealous. We didn't get to do anything like that, but oh, I'm so happy you did, because I know it's been a long, long time for you guys.
Yeah. What about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Okay,
there's two parts to this BFP. Mm-hmm. The first one is that Augie napped 7 days in a row.
What's the secret? What did you do?
This is my hack. Okay, so this is my BFP. It's my nap hack, which is I started playing music for him while he napped.
Yeah, that's a good hack.
Usually what I do is I would put on 2 white noises. Like, we had gotten used to having like this little white noise machine that's like on the floor under his crib. And we have a Sonos in his room, which is like a Wi-Fi enabled music player, right? Mm-hmm. And the Sonos would play Deep Pink Noise for Baby Sleep. It was like this one I had found on Spotify like a year and a half ago, and we just got used to it. It's like a very like deep, low rumble, right? I think I talked about it on the show, actually. We even played a clip of it at some point. But so that was our routine, right? But clearly the routine wasn't working, as I've lamented for many episodes about his nap strikes. And one day he didn't nap, and we had to like go do something in the afternoon, like go pick something up. And so I was like, okay, I'll put him in the car. Maybe he'll fall asleep in the car. And we were driving, and he was like, I want truck tunes. Have I talked about truck tunes?
No, I don't think you have.
So Truck Tunes is a album. You can get it on Spotify. There are accompanying YouTube videos, which kids very much like. I highly recommend never showing them to them, because you will never get over it, right? But the album is great. It's super weird. Like, there's just all kinds of different styles of music, and it's all these songs about different trucks. And it starts off fairly, like, you know, predictable. Like, there's an excavator song, right? So I should say also that the album is called Truck Tunes, but the artist is called 20 Trucks.
Okay.
But there's actually like 40 songs. Maybe there's more. I'm just scrolling. Oh, 57 songs about trucks.
Wow.
Okay. So excavator, fire truck, monster truck. Those are the first 3. You're like, okay. It starts to get really specific. Like, we get down to street sweeper. Okay, that's fine. Beach cleaner. Okay. Ice resurfacer. All right. Landfill compactor. Feller buncher. Like, what the hell? De-limmer? Aircraft de-icer? Bucket wheel excavator. That's a thing I didn't know existed.
Oh my God.
There's a rock crawler. There's a crawler transporter. Another thing I didn't know existed. Crawler transporter, wow. By the way. That song is really, it goes crawler, crawler transporter. I know these all by heart, right? It's like super like weird. And it's what like carries the space shuttle to the launch pad. Anyway.
Wow.
Super great if your kids like trucks. But so we were like driving and he wanted to listen to truck tunes and he wanted to listen to one specific song, which was the Skid Steer Loader song, which, by the way, a lot of these are like weird ripoffs of like popular songs. Like, I think.
Oh, really?
Is it Skid Steer might be the one that sounds a lot like Usher. And Concrete Boom Truck, like I sent it to my friend Marilyn because it sounds so much like Hot Chip, which is a band we really like. Uh-huh. Anyway, so we wanted to listen to one of these, I think the Skid Steer one, on repeat. And I was like, whatever, I'm going to play it. So I had it on repeat. And then I noticed he fell asleep. And I was like, oh, interesting. Well, he's probably just really tired. The next day, you know, I was watching him fight his nap as usual. And I noticed he's singing Excavator. He goes like, da, 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 da. He's singing. And this is the thing he's done. We've talked about it, right? He just sings these songs.
Yeah.
But it occurred to me, I was like, light bulb moment. He gets earworms probably the way I do. And for those of you who don't know what earworms are, it's just like when you have a song stuck in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get them terribly, 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 right? I always have a song stuck in my head. So it occurred to me that he's singing them because he has them stuck in his head. And I was like, what if I put them on like the Sonos and then I can externalize this song that's stuck in his head?
Oh, good idea.
And listeners, it worked. It worked like a charm.
That's amazing. How did he react when he first heard the music in his room? Was he like, huh?
Well, I told him because I think I had to go in. He had like probably taken his sleep sack off or something. So I went in and I was like, do you want to listen to truck tunes? He was like, yeah. So I turned on truck tunes. So it wasn't like it just suddenly came on the radio. He probably would have been so excited. But no, he knew it was coming. And yeah, he'll like listen to it for 20 minutes. I mean, it takes him a while to fall asleep, but then he falls asleep.
Awesome.
And yeah, that's what's going on here. But
yay. How long does he sleep for?
Like 2 hours, like a really long time. Yeah, he needs his nap so bad still. But
yeah.
So yeah, truck tunes, the way to go. Or, you know, if your kid's not into trucks, something else.
Well, you know, in my house, we were big Enya fans for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
The girls would listen to Enya for naps, night, just hours and hours and hours of Enya. So I am all in support of music during sleep time. I think it totally, totally can work. I'm so happy. Yay.
Yay. I hope it keeps going.
I know. Knock on wood. Okay.
Knock on wood. But on that note, I actually do think I have to go get him ready for his nap and turn on those truck tunes. So shall we wrap it up?
Yes, we should. Listeners, again, we would love to hear your take on screen time. So please reach out. Laura, how can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the most awesome group of people on the internet, just go to Facebook, search Big Fat Positive Community, request to join because it's a private group. Please answer the 2 membership questions. That way we know you're not a robot and you will get sent through to the awesome discussions we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye.